The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, look, where do you begin with this one? Obviously, a far from ideal week that we've seen from the Bucks with three consecutive defeats and those three losses to the Washington Wizards, to the Memphis Grizzlies, and now tonight to a Toronto Raptors team that entered play with a 15-game losing streak. I pointed to this stretch and said this could be the biggest stretch of the season for the Bucks, and not for the reasons that we are maybe potentially seeing now. For the fact that with those three teams and with that game over the weekend in Atlanta against the Hawks, you had four straight games against opponents in the bottom 10 in the standings. And that was a major opportunity for the Bucks to either put a great deal of separation between themselves and the pack, that pack being those teams we mentioned on the network, the New York Knicks, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Orlando Magic, and how much ground they had gained on the Bucks. These four games were the opportunity to either put that two seed out of reach for those teams, or at least give yourself enough separation that you went into this weekend, early next week, knowing we can lock it up here. And I look, the two seed, when it all comes down to, is the two seed is not the most important thing for this team. The most important thing for this team is to, number one, get healthy. And I know Doc Rivers had said at the end of his comments there, which we can address, he's very confident that health will be there, that this team will be healthy for the playoffs. But for Doc, the big thing was the rest of it. How do we clean up some of the process and what we're seeing now? Obviously, with an improved process will come better results, but as he said, too, the mentality and the mental aspect of it, as Dave Kane mentioned, as we wrapped up the network broadcast, just getting mentally right for this, as Doc Rivers pointed to that in his comments. And said, even an official said to him during the course of the game tonight, you can sense a heaviness with your team. And I think that's been pretty apparent in these three games. Look, I'm sure a lot of the reaction to this is going to be extremely negative. And you've already started to see some of the, hey, what's going on with the Bucks? They lost to these two teams consecutive nights. The good part of this is that it happens on a Friday night and is more likely to get lost in the shuffle that, oh, by the way, that two-game losing streak became a three-game losing streak. But it's only going to get louder if it becomes a four-game losing streak. And going into Monday, the first thing at the top of everybody's desk is, have you seen the Bucks have lost four straight games? And here's the four teams there were two. One of them is the New York Knicks. But ultimately, the guys that you don't have on the floor, you know, that's not an excuse. And I think Doc had a lot of very interesting things to say. It's especially not an excuse when you look at the teams that you've played. When you look at the Toronto Raptors, who, again, were playing without a number of their regular guys. The Memphis Grizzlies, nobody has played with their guys out of the lineup more than the Memphis Grizzlies have this season. The Washington Wizards, similar story. You didn't catch Kyle Kuzma in that game. They had made trades leading into the deadline as well. That's been the constant with these three teams. Guys out of the lineup, guys that are no longer with that team due to trades, and it's been three losses for the Bucks. It is big to not have Giannis. It is big to not have Damian Lillard or Chris Middleton. But it doesn't explain all of it. And as Doc Rivers said before the game, when he got a question that was phrased as politely as possible by the reporter from Toronto that brought it up to Doc, which, reading between the lines, was, hey, how do you explain your team losing to two bad teams this week? And as Doc Rivers said, correcting him and said, no, these are games. These are winnable games that we should expect to win. You heard that frustration from Doc Rivers after the game tonight when he told us, an official told him, you can sense the heaviness with your team, starting it up with frustration, essentially. Does it change the urgency? No, but did say, look, these were against three bad teams, and that's inexcusable for all of us. It's on me. I got to figure out what we got to do to play at a better, higher pace. You could just see this building throughout the course of the game. No common thread other than turnovers and defense. We talked quite a bit about that during the game tonight. And frustration was really the key word that we heard from Doc Rivers. I'm frustrated. They're frustrated. We all are. That's a good thing. But it's not going to get you anywhere. Frustration gets you nowhere. You've got to work yourself through it. And that was another point that Doc made a number of times. Now, again, is it going to erase this if you beat the Knicks? If you go on a five-game win streak to close out the season, no. You're still going to have that planted in the back of your mind. And as far as reasons for confidence going into the postseason, I'm not here to sell you on that, because I think we've seen enough both ways, right? For everything I can point to, and we've talked quite a bit about this, the Bucks' record against the best teams in the league, they still own the second-best win percentage, trailing only the Oklahoma City Thunder. Second-best win percentage in games played against the 10 best teams in the league this season. The five-man lineup of Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Damian Lillard, and Malik Beasley, when they've been on the floor together, that has been, in terms of net rating, the best five-man lineup in the league this season. Lost in the shuffle of this stretch where the Bucks have now dropped four out of their last five games, five out of their last six games, I beg your pardon. Lost in all of that is what led up to that stretch. The Bucks blowing out the Oklahoma City Thunder. So for as many of the instances of tonight as there's been, or the Bucks' overall record against those teams in the middle 10, this week, not just tonight, you can point to positives too. And that's what makes this team so confounding. And really, it brings you at a loss for words to see two drastically different versions of this group night in, night out. We'll revisit some more of those Doc Rivers comments and get your thoughts as well. As again, there is no other way to put this than frustrating, and it's not the way. It's not the end of the regular season, but it's coming to a close. You don't want to go into the postseason limping into the playoffs or backing it. You still have some time to turn that around. But this week, the hope is you look back on this week and say, hey, remember that week and remember how down we were all on the Bucks and how many people got off the bandwagon. Man, they really took off after that. That's the hope, but there's a lot of things you got to start to clean up. We'll get into what those things are and hear from you after this on Bucks Talk. For the Bucks, those three losses to the Washington Wizards, to the Memphis Grizzlies, and now tonight to the Toronto Raptors, who entered in the bottom three in the Eastern Conference and on a 15-game losing streak. They get big performances tonight from Emmanuel Quickley, from R.J. Barrett as well, and especially from Gary Trent Jr., who's had a knack for shooting the lights out against the Bucks. And that continued tonight. Seven made threes. The Raptors as a team only hit 14. Gary Trent Jr. knocked down seven of those and finished with 31 points. The trend that we had seen in games where Giannis missed was big performances from Damian Lillard. And I look, we saw that once more. 36 points tonight from Dame. 14 free throw attempts. It's the most he has had in a game since he took 14 as well against the Los Angeles Clippers in this same building just about a month ago, March 3rd, when Damian Lillard had those 14 free throw attempts in that win against the Clippers in a game the Bucks played without Giannis and without Chris Middleton. But the defense was the issue for this Bucks team tonight. And I think, look, I said after the game last night, I know it's easy to react poorly to one loss out of 82 games and to say, how do you lose to the Memphis Grizzlies? I saw inexcusable thrown around quite a bit. How do you lose to that team? And on paper, sure, how do you lose to that team? There's a lot more that goes into it than that. But look, that loss to the Grizzlies, it's a shoulder shrug. if you don't lose to the Washington Wizards. And that was the loss. This one as well. This is equally tough. But I think when you look back at the Memphis Grizzlies loss on Wednesday and this one, the Bucks didn't play poorly, per se. Right? There were some things certainly defensively that were not good tonight from the Bucks. Game against the Grizzlies as well. You didn't look at it and think, what is going on here? You know, the feeling that you had a lot of times in that game against the Washington Wizards. But that's what these losses piling up will do, that it just compounds. And whether or not it's mental or how mental it is, there is clearly something there. For Doc Rivers to mention that in his post-game comments, for Doc Rivers to go as far as saying even an official told him, you can sense a heaviness with your team. But I think what you did see is, look, I've talked quite a bit when we've taken your thoughts on who is going to be the young guy that Doc Rivers has mentioned specifically. One of those guys is going to find a moment. It's going to find a spot for us in the rotation. They're going to be a contributor in the postseason. Of those three young guys, Marjon Beauchamp, A.J. Green, Andre Jackson Jr., one of them is going to stand out. We've talked on this show quite a bit about how and why that game or that guy is A.J. Green. Maybe tonight makes you re-examine that. As Doc Rivers said, look, I know what to expect from Andre. I know he's going to play hard. I've talked to him hundreds of times. He's the hardest working guy in the league. He's always out there looking for more and wants to learn. That's exactly what you saw tonight, where you saw what his defense can do. Wasn't just defense, right? It wasn't just Andre Jackson Jr. coming over a couple of times as a rim protector. There was one time that clearly caught Kelly Olynyk off guard. You saw him just being a pesky defender that can stay with guys on the perimeter. And I am going to be curious to see if tonight was the door opening for Andre Jackson Jr. to continue to get some more minutes, ramping up for the postseason, because the Bucks just have to fix their point of attack defense. I know there's no Pat Beverly. I know that's going to help and change things and move it in the right direction. It doesn't solve everything, right? It's a team scheme and a team effort. You've got to improve that point of attack defense. We saw it drastically improve when Doc Rivers arrived. And for whatever reason, it has regressed in this last week. That has been the biggest issue. Turnovers and what opponents have done with those turnovers and points off of turnovers. Especially tonight, another high volume of turnovers. Second quarter, very problematic. As Doc Rivers said, too, second and third quarters were where the issues lied. Second quarter is when the Raptors were able to finally grab that lead, pull ahead and extend it. Third quarter, we saw it balloon up to double figures. Turnovers have been an issue, and slowing down at the point of attack. I think it's easy to look at guys scoring on Brook Lopez and say, well, Brook Lopez isn't the same guy anymore. It's totally different. When you don't have Giannis on the floor, too. It changed how you could use Bobby Portis tonight. It changed how you could use Brook Lopez tonight. You didn't see those Brook and Bobby on the floor together minutes because for all intents and purposes, they were your only two bigs. So you had to pick and choose your spots. That Raptors speed and their perimeter quickness as well also meant there were fewer opportunities for Brook Lopez in this game. So I don't think it's a Brook Lopez issue. The issue tonight and the issue when you don't have Giannis is the way this defense works is you have Brook Lopez back there as the rim protector. You have Giannis as the ultimate helper, who is another seven-footer that can protect the rim. He can take on perimeter assignments. But those guys are there to make sure, look, even if you do beat your point of attack defender, we've got Brook Lopez back here, and Giannis is either coming over as the helper or Giannis is coming over to clean up on the glass, and vice versa with Brook Lopez. When you don't have one of those guys, it changes everything. Where then you're asking the other one to do both. And we saw that start to pop up as well with the Raptors getting offensive rebounds. It was an issue with the Memphis Grizzlies with their 76 points in the paint. It became an issue. And I know you had those guys in D.C., but it became an issue against the Washington Wizards. That stuff isn't going to look right unless you're at full strength. The most encouraging thing of all this that we heard from Doc Rivers after the game was his confidence that, yes, the health will be there. I am very confident in that, which leads you to believe a lot of this was precautionary with Giannis. You know, I know we saw him clutching at the back of his leg, whether or not that was the hamstring. I know we saw that. And Doc Rivers did also say, look, if he needed to, Giannis would play today. But we just wanted to take it easy there. I think the reality is, for all the times we pointed to, you'd really like to have all of these guys together on the floor for this long run to work out those kinks, to build that chemistry, and just get moving in the right direction for the postseason. The reality is you're probably not going to have that. Right, who knows? If Giannis is back on Sunday against the Knicks, if Giannis is back Tuesday, I think it's safe to assume Chris Middleton is not going to play in both Tuesday and Wednesday. Maybe it's going to be the same for Giannis if he's getting over a hamstring issue. Maybe it's going to be the same for Damian Lillard if he's getting over a groin issue as well. So the reality is, look, that health that we were hoping for, probably not going to be there. That does not mean you cannot address some of these other things. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Take an updated look at the standings as we brought you up to speed on some of those scores and the path ahead, not only for the Bucks, but those teams chasing the Bucks. We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk. Tough one tonight for the Bucks, who dropped their third consecutive game to the Toronto Raptors. Now, the good news, I suppose, the good news for the Bucks, the what did not make this worst-case scenario news, is that the New York Knicks also lost tonight in Chicago to the Bulls. The Orlando Magic, who I told slash warned you for weeks, don't take your eye off the Magic. That could still prove to be a team that passes the Bucks by way of the hot streak that they've been on up until tonight, by way of having one of the easier remaining schedules in the league right at the time as it shifted for the Bucks, where we kept pointing out, man, the Bucks have the toughest schedule in the Eastern Conference, one of the toughest remaining schedules in all of basketball. Well, right around that time, the Orlando Magic schedule plummeted in terms of opponent win percentage. It was one of the easier remaining schedules in the league. They peeled off wins, and they do that with their defense. I know the Magic are a team that a lot of Bucks fans have said, that's a team I'd like to see in the playoffs. The Magic and the Pacers are the two teams that will get mentioned the most. What I suppose I would caution is be careful what you wish for. Because if the Bucks are going to play this way, any matchup they get is going to be an incredibly difficult matchup. It is going to be tougher from here on out in the Eastern Conference. And I think, look, really, the ultimate wrench in all of this was the Joel Embiid injury. Because I don't know if you've seen, Joel Embiid has been back for two games. One of them was last night against the Miami Heat, where the Sixers won to pull to within a game of the Miami Heat in that chase for home court in a 7-8 matchup, and even to get out of the play-in tournament. But Joel Embiid looked very, very good in that game last night. He returned this week, so he gets about 2 weeks of an on-ramp to get ready for the postseason. Even if Joel Embiid is 80% of the guy that he was in the beginning of the season, that is an incredibly challenging matchup and a tough challenge for any defense to contend with. That's the team that throws a wrench in all of this, because the reality is the 76ers were going to be a top three seed if healthy. At worst, a top four seed. But because of that Joel Embiid injury, we saw them plummet. They were third at the time of the Embiid injury at the end of January, and they slid all the way down to eighth. If they're up there, it pushes everybody else down the line. And that's ultimately the fear of the play-in tournament, as we saw it bite the Bucks a season ago with the Miami Heat. Now, look, again, famous last words, and I know we said very similar things a season ago. The Miami Heat this year, it's not the same team it was a season ago. I know Jimmy Butler has not played in very many games here. Tyler Hero as well. Tyler Hero, we've seen legitimate injuries. Not that Jimmy Butler's injuries have not been legitimate, but we know the routine at this point. It's a lot of preservation for the postseason. Bam Adebayo has apparently started to add a three-point shot to his game as well, but they have some big absences. Max Strus is no longer on that team. Gabe Vincent is no longer on that team. Those guys were huge in the postseason a year ago, and especially in that series against the Bucks. Who knows with Tyler Hero, right? It doesn't feel like the same team. Jimmy Butler, same thing people have pointed out about the Bucks. Jimmy Butler is 1 year older. I don't know that they are quite as dangerous as they were a season ago, but they still have arguably the best coach in the league. They have one of the best postseason performers we've seen in recent years in Jimmy Butler, and it's a team that has a history of doing it. So I get the trepidation, and I get the fear of the Miami Heat. I don't know that they're quite as dangerous as they were a season ago. The 76ers are a very dangerous team. And I think, look, if the injury doesn't occur and they finish where we think they would have finished, that play-in tournament looks a little less daunting, right? Maybe you get the Miami Heat. Maybe you get the Pacers. Maybe you get the Magic. And you can point to the Pacers' record against the Bucks. Again, with an appropriate amount of respect for the Indiana Pacers. They did win 4 out of 5 regular season matchups against this Bucks team. It was in a previous regime, a different Bucks coach. It was when they had pieces like Buddy Hield, who now, by the way, plays for the Philadelphia 76ers. When they had Benedict Mathurin, one of the leading bench scorers in the league, lost for the season now. Tyrese Haliburton suffered a hamstring injury. He doesn't look to be the same guy and also doesn't have quite as much shooting around him. So that does feel like a different team. But the challenge of potentially looking at this and saying, if you finish second, you know either way you're getting the Miami Heat or the 76ers, because 7 plays 8, the winner of that game is the 7th seed. Right now that would be the scenario. Bucks are currently second, Heat and 76ers are 7 and 8. If the Indiana Pacers drop into the play-in tournament, you say, well, maybe we'll get the Pacers then. Well, if the Pacers lose to the Heat or lose to the 76ers, you don't get the Indiana Pacers. The reality is, and it has felt this way for a long time, the Bucks are going to get either the Miami Heat or the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the playoffs. You're going to be challenged, right? The Heat are a very sound team. They are a very good defensive team, especially in the playoffs, with some of the things that Eric Spoelstra is able to diagram. And they have proven postseason performers. The 76ers, the ultimate edge that they're going to have is Joel Embiid. Yes, you have Brooke Lopez. Yes, you have Giannis and Bobby Portis. Joel Embiid was putting together the most prolific offensive season we had seen by a big man all the way back since Wilt Chamberlain. Tyrese Maxey is coming to his own and become an all-star. They've added some nice role players there. Nick Nurse, just as much as we talk about Eric Spoelstra, Nick Nurse is another one of those coaches that has diagrammed defenses that has given Giannis fits throughout the postseason. It's going to be challenging either way. You're going to have a tough challenge in the first round. You are probably going to have another challenge in the second round. You would assume if you avoid the Boston Celtics, if you got the Boston Celtics on your side, you're definitely going to have a challenge in the second round. You would assume if you avoid them, you'll get that in the conference finals. So the path is going to be very difficult for the Bucks. I think we all understood that coming into this. That's what makes it even more imperative. You get the ship headed in the right direction. And some of these things we talked about, defense, specifically on the point of attack, the pace that the Bucks play at, and even more perplexing, Doc Rivers pointed this out earlier in the week as well. It's been off of makes where we've seen this defense really start to get run on. How do you clean that up as well? 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Mention those scores. So again, very, very tight in the standings. Just how tight is it? And the schedule ahead for those other teams, notably the Cavaliers, the Knicks, and the Magic. We'll take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk. 117-111, the final tonight. Raptors end a 15-game losing streak and give the Bucks a 3-game losing streak. Big games from Gary Trent Jr., Emmanuel Quickley, and R.J. Barrett offsets another 30-point game from Damian Lillard. Again, that's been the norm for Dame in games without Giannis. We've seen his scoring really increase in those games, but tonight it wasn't enough, and Dame fouling out for the first time this season. 800-990-3776, the number to join us tonight yet on Bucks Talk. And look, the good news for the Bucks is that the Knicks and Magic also lost. And I've said a number of times, I don't think seeding is important when it comes down to 2 versus 3. What is important is not finishing fourth and putting off a matchup with the Boston Celtics. However, from what we've seen this week, the thing that's most important is turning this, all of this, around, right? Fixing that defense and the point of attack defense, the issues that that's led to with points in the paint, offensive rebounds, second chance putbacks. Improving the offense is, as we mentioned during the broadcast too, Damian Lillard, he got there 14 times tonight, and hopefully that can spark something here. But we've seen those free throws drop off at a severe rate for Damian Lillard. Right, went from 6th in the league in free throw rate all the way down to 27th. Was taking 8 free throws a game up until January 31st. Then it nearly shrunk in half. That's a big component of your half-court offense, and half-court offense is going to be vital in the postseason. If the Knicks won tonight, if the Magic won tonight, then it's very interesting. If all of a sudden all four of those teams are separated by one game. So that's the good part, but it's not going to matter if the Bucks keep picking up losses. So you would have loved to have done something with those two defeats. Speaking of those teams, the Knicks, as we mentioned, are here in Milwaukee on Sunday. And this is an interesting schedule for the Knicks, who are in Chicago tonight. Then they're in Milwaukee, so they will arrive tomorrow and be ready for the game. Then they go back to Chicago for a game on Tuesday before wrapping up this road trip in Boston against the Celtics. They wrap up the season at home against the Nets and another game against the Chicago Bulls. You do have the tiebreaker. That's the good part. So that two-game advantage is essentially three. If you win that game on Sunday, it basically seals the Knicks off from being able to catch you. You would be three games up plus have the tiebreaker. You'd be four up. That would wall them off. So that's the importance. No pressure, but that's the importance of Sunday's game against the Knicks. The Orlando Magic have those same Chicago Bulls who beat the Knicks tonight. Then they go to Houston to play the Rockets, and that Rockets team, by that point, could be eliminated from the postseason. They're hanging on by a thread right now, four games back of the Warriors, with five games remaining. So by the time that game rolls around, Houston may be eliminated and have nothing to play for. But the Magic close out the season with three very important games. Here in Milwaukee against the Bucks, then 2 days later in Philadelphia against the 76ers, and then 2 days later at home against the Bucks. The Cavs are currently on a very difficult road trip. A road trip that has seen them so far go 1-2 with two games left. Tomorrow afternoon in Los Angeles against the Lakers, Sunday afternoon in Los Angeles against the Clippers. They then wrap up the season with the Grizzlies at home, the Pacers at home in a game the Pacers may need to avoid the play-in tournament, and the Charlotte Hornets. So on paper, of all of those teams, the Bucks have the most difficult remaining schedule. But as we pointed to at the top of the show, those are the games we've seen the best version of the Bucks in. So maybe, just maybe, that means good things for this team moving into the playoffs. We'll wrap up the show, preview what's next, the New York Knicks on Sunday night, after this on Bucks Talk. 117-111, the final tonight. It is the Toronto Raptors handing the Bucks their third straight loss. So now the Bucks look to snap this losing streak and look to do so against stiffer competition. But as we mentioned, that is where the Bucks have been at their best. When they have their best players on the floor, which, look, if we're being fair, you haven't had that all week long. You have not had one single game this week in those three losses where Giannis, Chris, and Dame all played. That's when the Bucks have been at their best, with those three players and Brooke Lopez on the floor together and against the best teams by way of record in the league. You are going to get a steady diet of those to close out the season. It starts Sunday here at home against the New York Knicks in a very big game, because if you win that game, you push the Knicks below you, keep the Knicks below you. They cannot pass you if you win that game. 6 o'clock tip-off Sunday evening, 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.